mind powers is all about manifestation. It's about manifesting and creating what it is that you want to have happen to you. And there's an old maxim in mind powers, and that is that you must know what you want before you can receive it. And that means having goals. So the first thing that the mind power student does is he sets himself a goal. You set a goal for yourself. And in setting goals for yourself, it's important that you ask these four questions. Now, I'm not talking about small goals like today I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to cook a brilliant meal tonight, or I'm going to finish the project. And all these things, you can use affirmations and you can use mind power techniques to achieve these things. I'm talking about large goals in your life. Is that when you set the intention to accomplish a large goal, I want you to ask yourself these four questions. First, why are you doing it? Why have you chosen this large goal? Secondly, does it feel right? Does it have a good feeling? Thirdly, is it a path with heart? Does it resonate with you? And fourthly, who besides yourself will benefit from this goal being achieved? First of all, why are you doing it? I had a student in Toronto one time, and he told me that he had the goal to be the richest person in Canada. And I was curious about that. And I asked him, well, why do you have that goal? And his answer was quite revealing. He said, to prove that it can be done. Well, what does that mean? To prove it can be done. Understand why you're doing what you're doing. You've chosen a goal. Why have you chosen it? Secondly, does it feel right? I always trust my feelings. Don't have a goal that feels out of tune with who and what you are. And this is where you can go to your subconscious. In any large goal, you should check with your subconscious. Is this goal appropriate? Is this goal something that I should be working on? And use the techniques to make sure that this is a worthy goal for yourself. Because when your goal resonates with your highest ideals and with the harmony of the greatest good of all, you can expect help, synchronicity, and the whole vibration of the universe to come and help you. But if it's out of tune with who and what you are, then you're going to have to fight it every step of the way. So trust, does it feel right? Thirdly, is it a path with heart? Never have a goal simply for making money. It's a very curious thing that people whose sole objective is making money very often don't. Find your passion. Find something that really excites you. For example, Bill Gates, who is the richest man in the world, he didn't say, oh, how can I become the richest man in the world? He found his passion. He devoted himself to it, and it happened as a result of him following his passion. It's very interesting. When I wrote my second book, Money, Success, and You, and when I had it in the manuscript form, I sent the manuscript out to all my successful friends and associates who had achieved great amount of financial success in their life. And I wanted them to look at the manuscript to make sure that everything that needed to be there was in it. And I had a list of about 20 people that I sent it to. What was fascinating is that when I reviewed my list, I noticed that every single person on that list had made their money, had made their fortune in areas that they were passionate about. One was a jewelry wholesaler. Another was a clothes manufacturer. Another was in publishing. Another was in home renovation. But they all made their money in something that they were passionate about. And it got me thinking, is it possible to make a great deal of money, a fortune, an abundance of money in something that you don't love? And you know what? I don't think it's possible. Oh, it's possible to make a living at something that you don't love. But you can't be tremendously successful unless you find something that you're passionate about. And besides, why would you want to? Life is too rich, is too mysterious, is too open for many different possibilities and opportunities in all areas of our life for us to settle in doing anything other than what resonates as true and passionate. If you follow this, it will work for you very well. And besides, you're going to spend a lot of time with this goal. I mean, a major goal is going to take 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is to achieve it. Why would you want to spend all that time at something that you're not passionate about? Then the final question, who besides yourself will benefit from you achieving this goal? And include as many people as you can think of that will benefit from you achieving this goal. I learned this technique from Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was a boyhood hero of mine. I grew up idolizing that man. And I was very fortunate that I got to meet him in person. He was doing a fight in Toronto, and we were in high school at the time, and myself and a few other boys, we would skip school and we would go and watch him train in the gym. And it was magnificent to watch him train. He was such an athlete. He was strong. He was vibrant. He was a poet. He was a minister. He was a man of vision. In between skipping rope and hitting the heavy bag, he would come and talk to us boys. He would take time with us. He was a real inspiration. Now, the thing about Muhammad Ali that was very interesting is that whenever Muhammad Ali fought, in his mind, he was always fighting for the poor people. He was always fighting for the black people. He was always fighting for what he called his people. And in fact, when in his fights, he was having problems and difficulties, his corner man, Bundy Brown, would shout out from the corner, "Come on, champ, do it. You gotta do it. Do it for the welfare mother. Do it for the kid that's on drugs. Do it for the poor people. Do it for the unemployed elderly. Come on, champ, you've gotta win." And it would inspire Muhammad Ali to do his best and to get out there and win that fight. Now, what I found always curious and quite amusing is that in almost all his fights, he was fighting other black men. But it didn't matter, because in his mind, now listen carefully to what I'm saying, in his mind, he was fighting for the black people. When I first came out teaching, I started teaching, and I would hold my seminars at 4- and 5-star hotels so that we had the whole aura of success, so that people could come to a very prestigious place and feel good about where they were. But the fact is that I didn't have a lot of money in those days, and I couldn't even afford to stay in those hotels. I'd leave the seminar after I'd answered all the questions, and then I would go back to my hotel. And I made a goal for myself. And my goal was that I was going to become a millionaire. And the reason that I wanted to become a millionaire is that I knew that when I was a millionaire, that I could be on stage and I could teach with power and authority. What right did I have to tell you that you can do anything in your life, that you can achieve your wildest goals unless I personally could demonstrate it? And so I set for myself that intention that I will become a millionaire, and I was doing it for you. Now that sounds funny, but again, listen to my words. In my mind, I was doing it not just for myself, but for I could teach with power and authority. I was doing it for the greater good. So in your goals, think about who else is going to benefit. We shouldn't have goals that benefit only ourselves. Is your family going to benefit? Is your community going to benefit? How can you include benefits for them in the overall goal? And by structuring your goal in this way, it will give you more inspiration. It will give you more power.